Praise the Lord. Wish you all a very happy and a blessed New Year 2025. It's my pleasure to stand on this place to share God's word and how good and pleasant it is. We are blessed children of our living God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Today, all of you know that you will be always expecting very anxiously what is going to come, what is the message for this year, and what is the promise. Yes, it is true. Indeed, God has put in my heart long back. I am working on it. So the first thing is, the title of this message is God's Relationship with Man. Our God is a God of relationship. He seeks the relationship with all men. He seeks relationship with you and me. Amen? Do you know where did it start? It started from the creation itself. When He created everything, and He has created man on His own image, that itself shows how much our God loves us. How much God loves us. Several times I did mention this. How do we know the love of God? The first thing, He has created us on His own image. So that He will communicate with us throughout our life. So our God is God of relationship. To have a very close, intimate, love relationship with men, God created them like Him alone. So as it is started from the beginning, the first person who had love with God is the first man. Of course, there's no doubt about it. Because we learn from the scripture, it is God who always go in the cool place, walk with Him, and fellowship with Him. How many of you believe that? Say amen to that.
Amen.
So the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis 2 and 3 demonstrates the profound partnership and the deep connection. Indeed, in marriage, they are united, Adam and Eve. Now, we are just as a first couple, Adam and Eve from the Bible, we are learning certain things, how they are related. So we know that they are, of course, husband and wife, there is no one. So how was the relationship? So from the creation itself, when He created all things, He found or He decided in His heart that He should make a suitable person so that they will live together and have fellowship. That relationship God made it in the act of marriage. So Adam and Eve was created by God at the dawn of time, nourishing them with a bond of love and a companionship. In the Garden of Eden, they enjoy the perfect union where they share the purpose and the mutual support made them as parents in every sense of the word. So the partnership they formed represented not only a romantic relationship, but also profound extreme unity in purpose and that interest of God. That is only based on the interest of God. So there are consequences. Yes, God indeed made them together so that He also can fellowship or have a relationship with them. But what has happened to lose their relationship? That is, we know that it is based on the sin, what they have committed, what are disobedient. The disobedient to God's word separate them. So the consequences of sin and disobedient separate them. So there are certain things. I'm not going for all the from the creation step by step, and how and what made them, or what is the consequences of their sin. So this disobedience introduced a sin into the world, not only to them, and leading their expulsion from the paradise and a reputed or a broken relationship with God. The consequences of Adam and Eve, disobedient highlights in the challenges that a relationship can face when confronted with sin, and the consequences that follow. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" When he came, as usual, to fellowship with them, he called, "Where are you, Adam? Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So that we read, all of you know, and from Genesis 3, 9 to 10. So there is a table I present before you, and the comparison. What are the characteristics? And Adam and Eve before disobedient, and what are after they disobedient. Number one, about the character, their partnership. They were together. They not only husband and wife together, they were together with God, with the relationship they were tied with. And Adam and Eve before disobedience, they are fully unified in purpose. So they have a purpose. God has the purpose. And they had a purpose. They were unified one another. But after that, the disobedient, what has happened? Stained by guilt and shame. That was the response of Adam to our God. "I am afraid. I am hiding. I am hearing, but I cannot come in front of you. I am ashamed." So the sin, the disobedient, made man to be separated from God. Secondly, the trust. What was the characteristic of Adam and Eve? They trusted God, and God also trusted them too, because they are His own and first creation. And Adam and Eve, before they disobedient, they are unquestioning trust in each other. Say, they don't have any question between each other. So they trust God, they trust each other, and had very intact relationship. But after disobedience, what has happened? Doubt and suspicious arising from sin. So this is the case of everybody. It is not only with them, even to every one of us. Whenever we do any mistakes, or the children before parents, or between the spouses, if you do anything, try to hide, that breaks our fellowship. That trust goes away. So we cannot, once we made a mistake, the trust is gone. So we may not have the continual or the wholehearted trust to each other. So here, the cause of separation or not for a healthy relationship is disobedience. And not having full-heartedly the trust with each other. Thirdly, intimacy. How was the intimacy before disobedient? It was open and exposed. There is nothing hidden. Dear children of God, I guess it may look very simple. What is a great among about the relationship? You know, in this world, the relationship is the foundation, even with one another. If we don't agree with one person, the whole relationship spoils. So this is very much needed in our family, in our personal life, in the church, among the nations, and among the world, one another. Why? Even the country to country, they seek peace with everybody, but still they don't, because the trust is not there. The same thing in our families. How is our relationship in the family? And here, the open intimacy was open and exposed. But after sin, after disobedient, that is hidden and closed off. Relationship is very important for our day-to-day life. Nowadays, the relationship is going down and down because we lose our trust with one another. And we try to hide something with one another. If it is so, we may have a broken relationship. The same, more than that, the same with our God. We may think that we are coming, always we talk about love and the unity, love and the unity. And it is not that just coming together and sitting together, there is a unity among us. And God seeks the fellowship, the relationship. Not only, that is His prayer. We should be one and one with them, the triune God. That is His prayer. Fourthly, unity. Harmony, that was before, it was harmonious and united. And later, it is broken and divided after disobedience. So this table illustrates the contrasting dynamics of their relationship before and after the fall. The consequences of sin and disobedience introduced various challenges that they had to navigate as a couple. Second couple, the very familiar couple in the Bible, is Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, enduring faith and partnership, that is the relationship one another. How they took place in the faith chapter as one of the person. Abraham is well known. It is not only is recorded there, and for faith, he is the first example in the Bible. We should have a faith of Abraham. Why? What are the consequences? What are the challenges he faced? And how did he overcome all these things and became a very successful person in the world? It is only because of their relationship. They worked together and they had a close, intact, intimate relationship with God. So here, the marriage of Abraham and Sarah, as described in Genesis 12 to 23, stands as a remarkable testament to enduring faith and a partnership. Their story exemplifies unwavering trust in God and the strength of their bond among various challenges and triumphs. Abraham and Sarah face the discouraging task of leaving their families, first thing, leaving their families, surroundings, and get on a journey of faith. The first call came to him to leave his place and his people. That was the first challenge to Abraham and Sarah. So in response to God's command, they set out from their homeland, enduring the uncertainties and the risk that they lay ahead. Their unwavering faith in God's promises sustained them through the trials and hardships they encountered along the way. That all of us, we know what all the challenges they faced in during the journey and how they overcome too. So Hebrews 11:8, what we read, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, that he went out not knowing where he was going. If that is the case of all of us, how we would change, how we would act. Even to change a place to place, we think twice, thrice, and several times, so much of consultation concerning with this person, that person. There are lots and lots we try to investigate. Even put the children in another school or another country. How much we take initiative? It doesn't mean that I am just comparing Abraham just like that you can go. That is to the present world. I'm not telling it's wrong. We have to. That's why the counsel is there and the wisdom is there. God has given us. At the same time, just imagine how he obeyed when he was called to send. From this pulpit, we heard many testimonies of many leaders. And even today, they are here. First, when they are called or sent to this country, they were so reluctant to come forward. Why? Only thing is, this land is a Muslim country. Whether there is that's a testimony of many people. Whether there will be a church or not, how it is going to be, where we have fellowship. Of course, that was my experience as well. I was so reluctant to come. Many of you, I have mentioned this. But when God made it and allowed it, if we obey without looking at this side and that side, just obedient to God's word, we move forward. How many of you are ready to do that when God calls you? When God calls you for his work, to serve him. How many of you are ready? It should be. And it is, we may be depart from the near and near one, dear ones, but God promises that he will be with us forever and ever. Amen? So one of the greatest challenges of Abraham and Sarah was their prolonged wait for a child. That's another. Dispute their old age and the seeming impossibility of the situation, they clung to God's promise of descendants as numerous as the stars. This was promised by God. Their enduring faith in God's faithfulness and providences sustained them through years of longing and uncertainty. Finally, in their old age, Sarah miraculously conceived and gave birth to their son, Isaac. This fulfilled God's promise and brought immense joy to Abraham and Sarah. Their partnership and their relationship was marked by shared joy and gratitude for God's faithfulness. Our God is faithful. Amen. Our God is faithful always. Amen. Our God is faithful to us. Amen. Yet, the story also showcases moments of testing and challenges. God tested Abraham's faith by commanding him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. So we know that. So, and this table will show you, as you are already going through, Abraham and Sarah's story offers us several valuable lessons. Enduring faith in God's promises brings blessings even in the face of obstacles and delays. Partnership in faith cultivates mutual support and strength. It should be in all our families. Partnership in faith cultivates mutual support and strength. No amen for that? Trusting in God's plan needs obedience even in the most difficult test. So what are the challenges? Three things just mentioned. First challenge was long wait for a child. Yeah. And what was the victory? The triumph. Miraculous birth of Isaac. Second challenge. Commanded to sacrifice Isaac. Yes. What is the triumph? Demonstration of unwavering faith and obedience. That is why it is recorded and it is a lesson from the whole Bible. Abraham stands first for faith. Thirdly, as before, leaving their homeland and journeying into the unknown place. What they experienced was God's provision and guidance throughout the journey. If you have started a journey of spiritual journey, God will be with you. Whatever the challenges in the past year, God will be with you. And you will overcome. You will become victorious. Provider, having close relationship with one another. Among you, and among each other, even in the church. The church has the vision and the mission. The God is leading the church, moving forward. It is possible only when we have a healthy relationship with God, with one another. How many of you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I leave that and come to last week we have celebrated Christmas. What is the meaning of Christmas? We remember the birth of Christ, the purpose of Christ came to this world, and what are the messages shared or messages for the birth of Christ? He is the law, he is the Savior, he is Emmanuel, he is the peace, he is the joy. Everything we reminded or rewinded year after year and believing that and imagining Christ came to this world as a babe. And also when you go behind the prophets, what all the prophets have said about him, and everything was fulfilled and he came to this world. One of the things recently or last week I mentioned it was, so the whole world remembers that, the prophecy. He and the wise men, they came to seek for whom they are seeking for? The king. The king of the Jews. Born in Bethlehem. Where is it? They went to the palace looking for. Because they are wise men. There is not one. Three wise men. It was prophesied. They believed. The sign was given. They are looking forward. They came to look for the king of Jews. But the world is still celebrating the baby Jesus. But he came first time as a king of Jews. He came first time as a king of Jews. Yes. That was prophetic. But now he is going to come as what? King of kings. He is not as a king of Jews. He is going to come second time as a king of kings. For all of us. There are many, many prophecies concerning about him. Let's go something. And today, okay, let me come. They celebrate, all of us, we celebrate 1 week, just exactly 1 week. Now, where is Christ in our life, in our home, in our, okay. Where is Christ now? Where is Christ now? Huh? Within us. That's right answer. Thank God. God is in us. God is with us. To say this confidently, we should have the trust and we should have invited Him in His life, all of us. Yes, indeed, before we accept Christ in our life, Jesus Christ is in the world. He was in the world. Of course, He is still. But He depends. It is not in everyone's life, in families, in church, Christ is there. That's why the second part of meditation is, where is Christ? In the Christendom has shut Christ out. And He did ask, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Luke 18:8 says, He is going to come, sure, we are believing it. But the scripture says, will He find faith on the earth? So first thing, where is Christ today? He is outside the door of the world. He is outside the door of the world. John 1:10 tells us, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Christ is excluded from His world today. Were He to appear visibly before the world leaders and or the leaders of the world or leaders of the country? Not everyone accepts today. That is why, what is the sign of it? Why, how can we say that? Even though it is evident, how they are not accepting Christ as a Lord or the Savior or God, and there in them or the nations. Simple example is, if they believe it, there won't be persecution for Christians. Hello? The persecution nowadays, it is much more than the previous years. You believe that? Okay. So, that causes and proves that Christ is outside of the world. Secondly, He is outside the door of the sinner's life. That is, unbelievers, those who do not accept or receive Christ in them. As you said that, Christ is in us. True. That you have to receive it. It is not automated. He is not just as already is in your heart, or in your life, or in your family, or in your church. Yes, we have to receive Him. So here, Revelation 3:20, or even the scripture says that, primarily addressed to the churches generally, and the church in Laodicea, especially, it has a secondary applicable to the sinner as well. This verse has been the text of many evangelistic appeals. Do not miss the words, if any man receives. If any man. So John 1:1 presents a similar situation. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. That is, He presented Himself to all collectively and was rejected. The scripture says He came to His people. The own people did not accept Him, did not receive Him. That's why He was away. The next verse appealed to that. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God and to those who believe in His name. John 1:12. That's why we are all here and confidently say that when I ask you the question, where is Christ today? We say that He is in us. If you believe that, if you have Christ in you, say louder amen to that.
Amen.
That's your confession today and acceptance. And it is a renewal of your faith. You have faith in Him. You have received Christ in you. And you confidently say that you are the child. He is the child of the living God.
Amen.
Confidently say, God is in me.
God is in my life.
In my family.
That's
right. Thank you. Thirdly, He is outside the door of some homes. How many of you see this text? Some of the homes is just hanging on the wall text, as a wall text. Christ is the head of this house, this home, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Somebody has written that, and it is hanging in Christian homes. Have you seen that? Have you seen that? What does it mean? They kept Jesus outside. Don't come inside. So that is the case of many Christian homes. They are called a Christian's home. In reality, Christ is not inside their home. That means there is no the real relationship with Christ. They do not have the right relationship with Christ. They do not want. They don't bring their child in the fear of the Lord. Even the parents are not living as the standard of the scripture. The trust is not in Him. The love is not with Him. For the name's sake, they are called as a Christian home. Christians. But if anyone has no the personal, intimate relationship with Christ, that is not a Christian home. The relationship makes the Christian home strong and blessed. Everyone concerns about the blessings of God. No doubt. Yes. We are called, we are created to be blessed. God is very much willing. But we are not ready to accept Him. Inside means, how can we expect God to bless us? Right. And it's a strange. He is out of the church, outside the door of some churches. We heard many, many, many incidences and evidences in these days, very specially. Christ is not in the church, inside. Everything talking about outside. Christ is not inside. If Christ is inside the church, the children of God, the members of the church, will be edified, nurtured by His word fully. They will be a very strong Christian. And nowadays, most of the members of church are living as a shallow Christian, nominal Christian, as a namely Christian. And there is no strong or a solid food served inside the church. Spiritual food, I mean, not the physical. And they are more than that, there should be conviction. There should be correction. There should be edification. So if all these things are there, that is the healthy church. So there are many things. Because of the time, we will move forward. And yes, so inside many churches today, there is a little or no communion with the Lord Jesus. The people gather and go through the motions of the service, but Jesus Christ is not a central focus of their meeting or ministering the messages. Paul warned Timothy about such when he said, in the last days, there would be those who have a form of godliness but deny his power. So these are the churches. So the position of Christ. What is the position of Christ as per Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He is in a standing position outside the door, outside your heart. And notice that he is standing. He said, I stand at the door. He is not far off, but he is standing at the door. And he is near. Standing implies that he is waiting. He is patient. He does not come and go. He does not sit. He stands. Sitting is a passive. Standing is active. He is always stand. His posture is one of the expectations that availability. He is seen and being available but ignored. Secondly, he is knocking. We know whenever we have need, what is expected? Ask. Seek. Knock. You will find. But here, he is outside. So he is knocking. Stand at the door and knock. Jesus is seen knocking, not battering, knocking, disturbs, sleep, interrupts activities, invades privacy. This is not a single tap, but a continuous action, and speaks of the incidences. Here, closed door signifies the resistance. So we are resisting God to come in. So that's why, as I said, in your personal life, you have to invite. In your family, you have to invite. In the church, we have to invite. In the nation, yes, we have to invite Christ. So now, what was his position? One is outside, second is knocking, and so, and he is in a standing position. In some people's life, he is there for years together. Who are they? They do not accept Christ in their life. So there is a petition from God. What he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. First thing is, you should be able to hear. Second thing is, you have to open. Then he will come. You know, when Peter was put on jail and the church was praying, and Peter was released from the jail and he came out, God has set him free, and he came to the church when the house where they are praying, and he was knocking. The whole church is praying. They could not hear. He is knocking and knocking, the physical knocking. Here I'm not talking about that knocking. God speaks, knocking is within our heart. He speaks. So here, the example of Peter's, he is knocking. How long he was knocking? No one hears. The church is very busy in praying. Only one girl heard, and he reached to the door faithfully. She opened, and she saw that, surprised, shocked, ran into and said, even after telling also, the church not believe. This is the case of many people. As he was knocking, no one hears his. Busy singing, busy praying, not hearing when God knocks. So this will be the case of even individuals as well. So what is the precept here? God wants, even he is knocking, he wants us to open and come in and let him. So the promises here of Christ, here he is. I will come into him. Hello. I will come into him. And he and with me, he will be with me. There are two promises that Jesus makes here. The promises is invited in and he will have fellowship and a communion. Second thing is the fellowship. So fellowship, I will come into him, I will have fellowship with him, I will dine with him, and communion. So it is not only the fellowship, he is also having communion with us. I stand at the door, I knock. If you hear me call and open the door, I will come right in and sit down to suffer with you. He enters as a guest. He remains as a host. Fellowship with God incarnate is the privilege of those who have heard and knocked, responded to the voice, and have an inviter represent on one to as received or Jesus as a resident to your life. So here as a conclusion, Jesus is sovereign, is the sovereign of the universe. He is the savior of the world. Standing at the door of rebel heart and desiring to enter into all who invites him in. He avoids your invitation. Hello? He avoids your invitation. He will forgive your sin, remove your guilt, and give you eternal life. You can then benefit from his fellowship and communion even before you get to heaven. When you hear the knock, will you say, go away or come in today? Come in today. Amen. So herewith, I declare that the year of 2025 is the year of relationship. On the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. 2025, the year of relationship. The promise is, behold, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That is the precept. If anyone hears my voice, open the door. That is the precept. He is there knocking. Anyone hears and open the door. Promises, I will come into him. He will come into us. And he will dine with us. And he with me. We will be with the Lord. In many places, Jesus said, I am the door. He has to, and he is inside, we are outside. But here, he is outside, we are inside, we have to invite him. Hello? This is the promises. Can we put our hands together for God's promises for us? I will come into him. I will dine with him and he will be with me. Having a fellowship and a communion with him. Amen? It's a time for communion with our God. Close our eyes. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Father, it is not our word, it's your word. As you spoke to us, as you promised us, yes, Lord, indeed, we are ready to invite you in our life, in our home, in our relationship, in our family, Lord, in our church. Lord, come in. Bless us and dine with us. Lord, we commit this time into thy hand. Continue to take charge of us. As we are waiting to have communion, bless the bread and wine which kept before us. Sanctify it. as we are going to come together, as you commanded us, let that bring blessings to all of us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So before we come to the Lord's table, very quickly, I bring before remind you about the purpose of it. And first of all, we should thank God for God gave his life for us and which is prepared for us. And it is a memorial to remember. It is God, because of love, he died for us and gave his life for us. And we are commanded to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It is good to remember on this first day of the year to have communion together as a sign of obedience to God's word, acknowledging, accepting, receiving Christ in our life among ourselves during this communion. Amen? And it should be taken with reverence. We should come. If you have any unforgiven sin in us, we have to examine and we have to ask forgiveness from our God. He is faithful. He is ready to forgive us. And it has to be done with a fellowship and sharing with one another as the word of God exhorts us. So it cannot be taken alone. It should be as a family or church together. So God is very much impressed in having us dine with us, believing that God is with us and he is also taking communion with us. Amen. So the ushers will guide you. Please come in row.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we all just rise up? Hallelujah. Thank you, choir. The word has gone forth, and I'm very expected for 2025. I'm looking forward to this 2025. But because the Lord is about to do something new. We have taken the Holy Communion and we have started it in the right footing. We're going with the power of the Lord into this year. It will open doors. The only thing that's required, as Pastor said, is to hold on to Him and have a relationship with Him. That's the key for this year. And so shall it be. Father Lord, we say thank you. We thank you because your word has gone forth and it will accomplish everything that is desired to accomplish in this 2025. Lord, we have started this year with you by partaking of this Holy Communion. Father Lord, we ask that your blood will speak better things on our behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. This year it will speak better things on our behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. Even the body that we have taken, Father Lord, it will bring us in constant memory of what you have done for us. Father, draw us close to you this year. Give us that relationship that you so desire and we also desire. And so shall it be. Lord, as your people depart, I pray that your presence goes with us, Father Lord. From this beginning point, Father Lord, to the time at the end of the year, if do not come, we ask that your presence goes with us. Take the glory, Father Lord. Take the adoration for all that you're going to do in our lives. We receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, by chance our members are not here, we pray that the blessings of today shall reach them. Those that are traveling, Father Lord, we pray for journey mercies. Thank you, Father Lord, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Before we share the grace, please note 2025 calendars are there. Please pick your copy. One per family, I think. By the doors, they'll be there. Please pick it up and keep it. It will have all the verses and whatever is required for this coming year. Please make sure you have your copy before you leave. We also have refreshments also outside. So if you're not in a hurry to get to your office, please take some refreshments and be able to fellowship with one another. And I'm telling you something, as God has spoken, he will do wonders in our lives in 2025. Be expectant. You know, if you're not expecting someone knocking your door, it will not open. You will not hear anything. You have to hear. And God will do it for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed 2025. Hallelujah.